everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan or horror fans every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. I'm so excited because last night we had a full moon in the sign of Pisces, and I got to chat with two of the hosts of the podcast, Allegedly Astrology, Dana and Sarah. I'm a big astrology nerd, so when I connected with them on Twitter, I knew I wanted to have them on the show. They told me about how they got into watching horror, why they think horror fans enjoy microdosing on darkness, and why they love to read the astrological charts of people like Jeffrey Dahmer and events like the Sarah Lawrence cult. There's also spoilers for the menu at 41 minutes, so if you haven't seen it yet, just skip over like 20 seconds. Such a good episode, and if you're an astrology nerd like us, you'll love it too. One last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated, as it really helps people to find us. I think I've rambled enough, so let's get into this episode with Dana and Sarah. Hey, Dana and Sarah, how are you?
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here. It's so appropriate that we're recording tonight, February 19th, because there's a new moon in Pisces, and you're two of the three hosts of the podcast, Allegedly Astrology, which I love and we'll get into in a little bit. But do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself, including your sun, rising, and moon signs?
Yes. Dana, you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. I'm Dana. I'm from Chicago. I'm an astrologer by trade and hobby, which I've never said before. I'm a Gemini sun, a Sagittarius moon, and a Leo rising, just like Donald Trump, Zoe Saldana, Barry Manilow, and Sandra Bernhardt. So the real kooky.
Yes, ones. Just surrounded by the greats.
Some clowns.
My name's Sarah. I'm from Chicago. That's how I know Dana and my other co-host on Allegedly Astrology. We all went to high school together, but now I live in Miami and I'm in advertising as like my day job. I write ads for a living. And for the podcast, I do all the writing and researching. And my sun and moon and rising are Macabre Sun, Cancer Moon, and a Libra Rising.
Awesome. So first things first, what are your favorite scary movies?
Oh my God, Dana, do you want to go first?
My absolute favorite is The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which I just saw last year for the first time and was obsessed with. I guess still am. That counts as horror, right? That's like a terrifying movie. I loved it. And yeah, I think that's my absolute favorite.
Okay. Mine, I feel like, is kind of bizarre, but when I was little, my parents just let me watch whatever I wanted. So I feel like I'm slightly, my horror movie experience is kind of different because when I was little, I loved watching them. And then something happened where like I became afraid of them. And now my way of consuming them is like through podcasts and reading like Wikipedia plots because I'm afraid to watch them. But my favorite scary movie is Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master.
That was the first one I ever saw when I was like 4 years old too.
Yeah, I just love it. I love like how campy Freddy is. I love like I can't think of her name, Julia, the one who like fights him, I love. But yeah, that's probably my favorite one just because it doesn't scare me. But I also really like House of a Thousand Corpses, which is kind of interesting because I don't really like that much gore and that's like all that movie is. But yeah.
That's Rob Zombie, right?
Yeah.
I also like Scream, if that counts.
Yeah, of course. You have to meet my friend Sharon, Sarah. One of her favorite movies is House of a Thousand Corpses. She used to go to sleep to it.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's kind of one of those movies where after you watch it enough, it doesn't faze you anymore. And you're just like, yeah, this is fine.
I still have never seen it. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't like gore that much. No.
Yeah, neither do I.
And Sharon is from Chicago as well. So.
Oh my God. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So how did you both first fall in love with horror?
Dana, do you want to go?
Well, I guess, I mean, I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, and I don't think I loved it, but I loved that I knew I wasn't supposed to be watching it. And then when I saw Scream, I had already seen like Clueless and whatever like other teen movies were out. And so I liked how it was sort of like funny as well as terrifying, I guess. I just didn't like the guts part, but I was like 7 years old and I watched it at actually the same place where I saw Nightmare on Elm Street and every other movie I wasn't supposed to see. Like I was like being babysat by kids who are a year older than me or something. But yeah, I think I just like the feeling of being like, what's going to happen? I love like adrenaline, you know? I love getting in trouble. That's the same feeling.
I think the first scary movie I ever saw was The Exorcist, and it was by my grandma's house on like, in Chicago, we have a channel, it's like WGN Channel 9, and sometimes they have like the, not like, it's the special version that could play on like regular TV at night or whatever. So I remember watching that, and I feel like it should have been scary, but I wasn't that scared. And then I feel like because of that, I had like a false sense of security with scary movies. So I would just like go to Blockbuster, which is really dating myself, and like go through the, like the scary movie aisle and pick stuff out. So I just kept watching them until my parents said I couldn't anymore, which was like never. Like I feel like on my own accord of being afraid somehow. I stopped probably when I was in high school, I think. Because then I feel like when you're little, you don't realize like some of the things could happen to you. And I guess around high school, I was like, wait, you actually could be chased by a madman.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the movie The Strangers?
Oh my God. That movie ruined Dana's my life. Yeah.
That one is terrifying. I rewatched it for the first time a couple of years ago since seeing it in theaters, and it's like just as scary, but it's like the two main characters make all the wrong choices. So you're kind of like, you deserve it a little bit. So
that makes me feel maybe I should watch it again, but
yeah.
Isn't Liv Tyler in that?
Yeah. It's a hot guy, I think.
So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
I mean, there's like curiosity or like generic perversion, which is also a term I use for Uranus, which is just like, what's off about people? Like, it's weird to not be curious, I think, but also there's a way to get adrenaline. And now that we know like about psychology, it makes sense that like you would go on a date to see a movie because then you're like scared together. You're like manipulating each other into being more in love.
Trauma bonding.
I think it's a way to like, I think on a deeper level, people like it's, well, I mean, I think it's important to acknowledge that evil exists or like that there's dark stuff. And so one way to be like, all right, like this is evil, but like I can live my regular life and just sort of microdose darkness.
Oh, I love that expression, microdose darkness. It's great.
Yes. Yeah, I think like scary movies are fun for the reasons Dana said. I also think they're a little bit taboo. You're kind of seeing these things that like, you know, no human probably should see or experience, whether it's like a slasher and you're seeing, you know, Michael Myers like kill a bunch of people in weird ways, or like if it's The Conjuring, like you're witnessing a family like experience this insane demonic curse. But I also think the tension and the fear of being scared can be addicting. So it's like something you kind of want to experience, even though it's a weird feeling, it's still, you know, you kind of crave it, I feel like, after a while.
For sure.
Maybe that's why horror movie fans exist, because we're addicted.
Yes.
It's a safe addiction, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, safer than like meth. So.
Which probably is like similar results, you know? High adrenaline, I don't know.
I never tried to like take apart like a fridge after watching a scary movie though.
Yes. So what scares you today in movies and in real life?
I'm not like terrified of masks, but I was thinking about this. Like I used to be afraid of the mask aisle during Halloween when I was little. And I think my mom would walk me through it to like try and do like immersion therapy, but it would freak me out. And The Strangers was one of my like least favorite, I guess. I didn't hate it, but I was terrified during it. And they have masks in that movie. A lot of the horror movies I hate, or like I'm too afraid to see, like the one, what's it called, with like Naomi Watts, something Mommy on.
Oh, Mommy Dearest.
Good Night,
yeah.
Mommy. Oh, yeah.
I, like,
sorry.
The trailer. I like close my eyes during the trailer. That's how I know I can't see it. And then I read all the Wikipedias.
Don't watch the Naomi Watts version. Watch the Austrian version.
Yeah, I heard that one's messed up. I also read the plot to that and I was like, wow.
It's a good movie. It's not too, it's, I don't think it's too messed up, but like, yeah, the American remake was not good. So
that's sad. Like, I feel like everyone's obsessed with doing remakes and they never, it's hard to be better than the original.
Yeah. Do you guys have any favorite remakes?
No, I know people were obsessed with It. Again, I was like afraid to watch it.
It was intense.
I love Bill Hader. I should see It, the second one. But I never even saw the first one. That was one that I never saw as a child. Do you have any or that you would recommend?
Remakes? I would recommend the Funny Games remake was really good. It's remade in English, so you don't have to watch the French version. And it's remade by the same director, I believe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I would recommend both It Part 1 and Part 2 that came out recently because they're both really good. But It Part 2 is really long. It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
That.
I sat through it in the movie theater, did not get up once. It was like watching Titanic.
Whoa.
What else is a really good remake? I actually really liked, I really like Rob Zombie's Halloween. I know that's an unpopular thing to say. I find the original Halloween very boring. Mm-hmm. And then the 2002 American remake of The Ring, I think is better than Ringu.
So. Oh, yes.
Yeah. That movie was great.
The Ring was like, I think it came out when I was either, were we in elementary school or were we in high school already?
I think we were in like, I think it came out in like 01 or 02. So we would have been like 6th or 7th grade, maybe even 8th.
I remember the girl, like, remember when they opened the closet and they see the girl in there, her face, like, I know, like, looking back now, like, that wasn't, like, the best movie makeup or anything, but it, like, really messed me up. Like, I could see her face in my head right now.
Yeah, I think it's so, it's, like, funny now to think about.
So what's your favorite subgenre in horror?
I like, I guess, like, psychological. I love psychological. I'm a Cancer Mars in the 12th house, so I, which means that I, like, you know, psychological torture to myself and others. I like occult, I guess, like anything that's like witchy or like people, you know, like devil stuff, like Satan worshiping, which I can't.
Devil stuff.
Devil stuff.
I like devil stuff.
I also like comedy horror, which I think I also kind of like the accidental comedy one, like Wicker Man was felt extremely funny, even though it's terrifying. It's just so funny when he punches the lady.
Wicker Man is unhinged. Like, I've never seen the original one from like the 70s, but I can't admit I need to watch it because I just to compare what it's like.
That's my favorite remake, I guess.
My favorite genre, I think, is, or subgenre, is just campy horror. Like, even though I don't like gore, like, now I think movies now are so real that it scares me. Like, I don't want to see someone die in a way that honestly is probably like medically accurate. But I do love like over the top, like homemade stuff because it's still scary, but it's like playful and fun. Like Evil Dead, I just watched for the first time, like probably 2 Halloweens ago, because I was like, I need to start watching scary movies. And that's the one I watched. And it's obviously gory, but it's just so insane and over the top that I loved it. There's also like this movie I watched called Chopping Mall where robots get hit by lightning and then they just go on a killing spree of people in the mall, which is pretty funny. So I love like all stuff like that, or like Fright Night where it's just like, what is going on now? Those are the ones I like because I feel like I could separate reality from what's happening.
Nice. I'll have to introduce you on Twitter to my friend Jody because he is like big into the horror comedy and like 80s horror.
Oh my God. Yes, please do.
Yeah. I can always ask him whether or not I will like something because he knows my taste really well. I'll be like, well, I like that. He'll be like, no. But speaking of campy, I saw Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey last night.
I want to see that. How was it?
It was ridiculous. The audience was laughing the entire time. And yeah, it's like not a well-written horror movie at all. It's like faster paced than an 80s horror movie, but it's like that cheesy and the acting is not great.
I love that.
So yeah, I would recommend to watch it with a group of your friends because it's fun.
So like wait until it's on
on
TV. Okay.
Yeah, or go see in a packed theater. I mean,
okay,
whatever. Yeah, but somebody a couple walked in with 2 strollers and 2 babies halfway through and sat in the front.
Oh my God.
I was like, this not conducive.
Could you imagine if they thought it was like a real Winnie the Pooh movie?
Yeah. Oh, they're apparently remaking Peter Pan and also Bambi soon as well.
As horror films?
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of like that. I would generally think that would piss me off on some days, I guess. Maybe I'm just, but like, I feel like Bambi and, I don't know, Peter Pan are so perfect for that.
Peter Pan, I feel like, could be scary. Like, it's a child that, like, doesn't age, that just breaks into people's houses by flying.
And then there's Shadow.
Also, there's Captain Hook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hook was the first movie I ever saw.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's been, her first crush was Rufio.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good choice. Speaking of Evil Dead, have you watched the 2013 remake yet?
No, I didn't. I heard some people liked it, but I can't betray the first one. Like, I don't even know what it would be like. Like, I'm obsessed with, what's his name? The actor from the original one.
Bruce Campbell?
Yes. Like hottie, like love him, cannot betray him. So I haven't watched it now.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I don't really like the original ones. I find them a little boring, but
yeah.
Yeah, so this is the more modern version of it. It's a little faster paced.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Maybe I will watch it. But yeah, I feel like I need to, I don't know, whenever I like something, if a remake comes out or like a new, like even if it's a song or something, I can't go there.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite horror directors?
I don't, but Dana does.
I feel like I like, what's his name? Yorgos Lanthimos? Lanthimos? He's the one who directed Killing of a Sacred Deer, and since I like that movie so much. I also like Jordan Peele. I mean, I like the movies, but I also just love, like, what's it called? Key and Peele. And I feel like he has such an obviously new interpretation of stuff. Or, like, is telling new stories. Wes Craven, because I like Scream. Also, I guess I like Roman Polanski because I like Rosemary's Baby, and I mean, I don't condone his lifestyle. Well. But I also, when I read Ari Aster's Wikipedia page a few months ago or years ago, I read a bunch of his influences, and one of them was Repulsion, which I found out was also from Roman Polanski, and they're just like these crazy apartment movies, I guess. So yeah, I think I maybe could get into that era a little more of like 70s women being terrified, tortured, or, you know, psychological. And then I guess, yeah, whoever directed Wicker Man, Nicolas Cage Wicker Man. Big ups.
Great. Where the director of Wicker Man was. Oh my God. What if it was Nicolas Cage? I'm looking it up right now.
I would love that.
What I was directed by Neil LaBute, who actually wrote a movie recently or directed it, and it was really boring.
Oh, really? Sad.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I saw it and I was like, that was boring. House of Darkness that Justin Long was in. It's on Hulu now.
Oh.
Nothing happens in it until the last 6 minutes. So
I know one movie that I am going to attempt to watch because I read it and a few of my friends saw it, and the Justin Long thing just reminded me of it, is Barbarian. Mm. I heard that one was really good. I, of course,
so good. Yeah.
Read the plot. So I feel like I need to like ruin the movie for myself, and then I'll be able to like watch it because I know what's going to happen. So it'll be less scary. Mm. But yeah, I feel like that one will be really good.
Yeah. Barbarian was excellent.
Is that with, what's his name?
It's like Alexander Bill Skarsgård. No, is that the dad?
Bill. No, it's Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, it's so hot. They're all hot. Never mind. Cool.
They're all hot.
So you're two of the three hosts of the podcast Allegedly Astrology, where true crime, scandals, and celebrity gossip meet astrology, where three friends discuss the transits that have influenced some of the biggest moments throughout history and pop culture. You've covered people like Jeffrey Dahmer and the Don't Worry Darling drama, Roe v. Wade, the Sarah Lawrence cult, the Slender Man stabbing, and many others. How did you come up with the idea for Allegedly Astrology?
Dana, do you want to answer this?
We just like thought we needed some way to stay in touch and stay sane during the lockdown. So we had the idea, I think, around like in the beginning of the summer 2020. And then we put out our first episode by August. And like, we just like thought our group chat could be relatable or funny. Like I would get on I don't know, some sort of like tear and send everyone like 19 charts from like, I don't know, the JonBenet Ramsey case and be like, and here's this, and like, here's what's going on. And then we just like shit talk a lot. And so that seems to be a really good way to stay connected and also like sane.
Yeah. It was like really helpful, I think, during that time, because we all had like a lot of free time on our hands. And because I work in advertising, I write a lot, but a lot of it is obviously like based on what other people want. So it was nice to write stuff, write scripts that were like my ideas that I liked. So it's been fun.
Cool. Yeah, we also have like three unique talents, I suppose. So it works well.
Yeah.
How long have you all been studying astrology and giving readings?
I've been like studying astrology regularly and then with increasing depth since 2012. I did a little in college. We graduated in 2011, but just like reading, I don't know, my like Susan Miller horoscope at that point. And then I started giving paid readings in 2019 in person. And then during the pandemic, I started doing it on like video.
And I don't give readings. Dana is the astrologer of it, but I am very into astrology. I have been known to force people to give me their birth chart information so I could like do their charts for them. Like I say, like unsolicited astrology advice. I do it to all my coworkers.
You can give, you can do a chart reading.
No, I can, but I don't charge for it. I like love right. learning about astrology and doing like deep dives, but I also got into it around college, but only within like the last few years and doing the podcast have I like really been like digging deep into like more of the advanced astrology stuff.
Nice. What are your favorite episodes that you've done so far?
Oh my gosh, our favorite episodes. I love true crime stuff, and I love history. However, a lot of our listeners are more interested in like celebrity gossip. So I would say a lot of my favorite ones are like we did the Titanic and the Challenger explosion. We just did Jeffrey Dahmer, which was like cool to learn about. What else? Oh, we also, this is like neither related to true crime or history, but we did cover Giselle and Tom Brady's breakup, which I thought was really interesting, like learning about each of them and how he's like afraid to eat strawberries or whatever. Yeah, he's not afraid. He only recently ate one for the first time at like the age of like 42.
Yeah, as a like celebrity, it's not like he doesn't have access to strawberries. Yeah, okay. I think I like Don't Worry Darling. I like the Pete and Kim one too, I think.
There's been so many.
I know. Sarah Lawrence might have been interesting.
Oh yeah, cults. I love doing cult stuff.
I also like the, not the Blair Witch. Why can't I think of it? Oh, the Salem Witch Trials.
Oh yeah, Salem Witch Trials was very cool. R.I.P. Sarah Good or whatever her name was. Sarah Osborne. There was a lot of Sarahs in that
Goody one. Goody Proctor? Or is that from
Goody Proctor.
The Crucible? My bad.
We actually are knowledgeable about these things, despite how it sounds.
How do you choose the crimes that you're going to cover the people?
Honestly, we have like a really long list, like between our Patreon and our normal like in-feed one. We have a list of, it honestly has to be like 300 topics at this point because a lot of people suggest it. But a lot of the times too, we try and tie it to like the month of the year. Like, are there any anniversaries or is something about to be released? Like we did Dahmer because Netflix Dahmer had just come out. So we try and like tie it to like what's going on in pop culture as best as we can. But then sometimes we just like doing wild cards, like we'll be like, I really want to talk about the Manson girls. So it's like Dana and Lisa will be like, fine, Sarah, Manson girls, if you want.
Nice. Can you reveal any of your topics that you're covering for March?
So we're ahead, like we do seasonal episodes. Oh, so okay. We probably like won't do it. And it's honestly just for like our mental stability and sanity because we all like work too on top of it. But we're probably not going to launch until like April or May for our next season, just to give us some time. But what are we doing? I mean, I want to definitely do some like another murder this year if possible.
I'm really interested in Blanche. Oh, in Blanche.
Yeah.
She's
Do you know
woman,
that story?
No.
This woman in France fell in love. She was like from like, I don't know, the bourgeoisie. She was rich and her mom was like kind of pretentious. And so she fell in love with like a poor lawyer, or I mean, just not of the same class. And her mom was mad. So she locked her in the basement and said, like, until you are willing to like denounce this love, like you can't come up. And so she would feed her only the scraps from her meals. She like was like skin and bones when they finally got to her. I think it was like 25 years or something. And they found her and she was like, it's like really dark, but also I'm interested in, I think I actually did. I went into the astrology of it and I was like, wow, that's pretty wild. There was some wild astrology. I'm also interested in like the Stockholm syndrome, the normal Storg robbery.
The podcast And That's Why We Drink just covered it. If you want to go listen to it, it's really interesting.
I do.
Couple weekends ago. Yeah.
That is why we drink.
It's good.
And probably Mary Bell, a fellow Gemini. But like she was one of the first child serial killers. One of the first of like probably two. I don't know.
That's interesting.
I mean, if I could assume, like, if we're doing celebrity ones, I think we would probably cover Miley and Liam just because they were so recently in the news. But if we're talking about like true crime, I would definitely want to talk about like Albert Fish one day. You know, he's like the origin of the boogeyman. I also think Amanda Knox would be cool to do. And then I also think like we do a lot of couples, but we've never done like a killer couple. So if we did like Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka, or like Fred and Rose West, I think it would be interesting to see how their synastry, which is like you overlap charts and you see how their chemistry is together. I'd like to look at that and like their composite, which is like the chart of the relationship, to see like what's in there that would like make you be like, you know what, let's kill people together.
That's wild.
So cool. Have you found any commonalities when reading people's charts that you know are horror fans? Do they have like any placements in common? I don't know if that's a little bit too specific.
It's not too specific. It would be stereotypically, it would be like Scorpio placements, which I guess, hey, you fit that.
Yeah, Scorpio rising.
But then also like, I would think maybe like, I don't know if our generation is more into horror than other generations. I don't know when you were born, but like that would be Scorpio Pluto generation, is me and Sarah. I would also probably see where Saturn is, because Saturn is the planet that traditionally dictates fear. Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto can also all speak to fear, but I guess Scorpio would be the most stereotypically like aware of horror. But then maybe Gemini, so curious. So I got your...
Yeah, it's all
in
my chart.
Also like, any sort of like Saturn aspect, a nice like Mars square, maybe a Pluto square. Maybe someone with squares a lot actually would probably be more interested in like viewing horror, or more averse to it just because like there's so much horror in their own lives.
Oh my god.
Internal horror.
I'll have to check and see if I have anything that's squared. I don't remember.
Would love to look at your chart.
How do you get the information for the people and the events? I guess not the events, because you know the times of those events, but like how do you get like the birth times for the people who you cover?
Mostly we use Astro Data Bank. There was an astrologer named Lois Rodden who developed a rating system for how to tell like, or like what grade the quality or accuracy of a birth time is. Mm-hmm. So Astro Data Bank, I like trust implicitly. And then if they don't have it, I'll just go like, you know, we dig around and then I'll just do it like a chart for noon and not do the rising.
Nice. Yeah. Cause then you can make charts, but I feel like so many people tweet at celebrities, which that's a way to get it too. But yeah, I feel like there's always like a lot of like weird astro drama when it comes to rising signs sometimes. Like people be like, no, they're not this, they're that.
That's actually happened to us twice now.
Yeah.
Wow. If anyone is listening and they want to learn a little bit more about astrology, where would you suggest that they start?
Chris Brennan's book, Hellenistic Astrology, is pretty much like a great textbook, but that's very, you might have to have like some sort of like knowledge about it at that point. Otherwise, Parker's Astrology is like basically an encyclopedia of astrology that's really good for having like every sort of background, or like every sort of, they have like every, what am I thinking? Not like sect, but they'll do like progressions. They have predictions. They have all the signs, what all the planets mean. That's a good one. I would just probably get a scribd, what's it called? subscription, which is just like this basically digital library. And then you can look at books for free online.
I also think like,
I guess Google stuff and you'll find what you like. There's a book for everything now.
Have you ever heard of books? That's what you think of. I think also like Chris Brennan, who is a very, I feel like, you know,
he has the astrology podcast.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like if you're a nerd, like I am, you could listen to the astrology podcast. It's very dense. A lot of times it feels like you're in a college course. So you definitely learn a lot, but you have to like focus on it. I'm trying to think. I feel like Maddie Murphy, her podcast is called The Cosmic RX. She does a lot of stuff that are more about like the transits, but she talks about what's going on in daily life too. But I think like a lot of us probably just start off like looking at their chart, or like also I feel like for me and Dana, it was like guy related. You're like, let me see if this boy will like me. And then you just do like a million Google searches about what every aspect means. And then you go insane and they're implanted in your head after that.
Yeah, it does. Also like Mindfire, I think it's like mindfire.ca or something, has a lot of information from Dane Rudiar, who was not the first evolutionary astrologer, I don't think, but he was sort of like, not necessarily an iconoclast, but he just had a different sort of interpretation about astrology. And he wrote so much stuff that's online.
Nice. I will have to check out all those resources. All I have read so far is Chani Nichols.
Oh, she's great. That's an excellent starting point.
Yeah, she's so funny on her Instagram with her stories and stuff.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, I have her book too, like The Astrology of like Radical Self-Acceptance, I think. I can't think of like that's like the subtitle of it. Mm-hmm. But her story is so interesting because she basically got famous as an astrologer like much later in life. I think like in her later 30s or even early 40s.
Yeah.
But she talks about it in relation to her birth chart, which I thought was like so cool. But yeah, she's great.
So an article came out in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling the lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
I feel like it feels satisfying when life imitates art. And what?
So
I mean, not in a way where you're like, oh, thank God this is happening. But like that phrase exists maybe just because like at least something prepared me for it, right? Like at least I had some sort of experience with witnessing like art preparing us for reality. I also feel like a common thread in like any horror film is like people are ripped out of their like prefabricated narrative, you know? And then like, that was what happened to everyone. Like there was like a lockdown and then like everyone's life was different. So like whatever like path that like people thought they were on, they were like, okay, you know, I'm not on this anymore. So like a horror fan might be better and able to cope with that sort of like loss of control. Whereas if you're averse to horror, maybe you can't see. Like, I know a lot of people probably just don't like gore, but like, if you don't like any horror, maybe you sort of don't like witnessing the loss of control. But I wonder like what the demographics of that would be, because then I would like to do the astrology of like generations. Because I can see the boomers who have like Pluto and Leo being really, that's like Leo's a sign of the self and Pluto's all about sort of like control and power games. So like if they have no control, you know, like I think Joy Behar was like, I want to go to Italy. And it's like, the people are dying. But yeah, maybe that was it.
I think people are, well, two things. You know, I think when you're used to being scared or being anxious a lot or being tense because of horror movies, when it gets to the time to be scared in real life, you're probably more able to cope with it than just like freaking out and flying off the handle. And I also think too, like when you watch horror movies, you know, the person that like freaks, like you always spot the first person for the most part that's gonna die, and it's always the person that's like dumb and like, you know, doing things that are obvious that you should not do. So I feel like with that in mind, you're like, okay, like I'm not gonna be the one to die first in this situation.
Yeah, well, like you're like gamifying lockdown.
Yeah,
grocery shopping or whatever.
Gamifying grocery shopping.
Have you seen the new pandemic horror movie Sick that's on Peacock?
No.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What is it about?
It's about these two girls who go to quarantine, you know, lockdown at one of their lake houses, because we all have lake houses, and like somebody starts trying to kill them. So
interesting.
And it's during, it takes place in like April 2020.
I'm surprised no one has done that yet, because that, if that would have come out, imagine if they were able to do it like so fast and churn it out by the end of the pandemic, everybody would be like, oh my God, this is going to happen to me.
Yeah. It'd be so funny to know that everyone at their lake houses were watching that.
Honestly. It's written by Kevin Williamson, who wrote Scream.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Yeah. So it, does it have like a similar vibe of.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's as good as Scream, but yeah, it's definitely, it's entertaining. And I found it a little bit re-traumatizing when in the first scene, the guy is getting home from the grocery store and wiping down his groceries.
Oh my God. Remember how we were like, no, we have to wipe down all of our groceries with Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
Or leave them outside. Like, leave them outside for a little bit. Times were simpler then.
That was wild.
Oh, yeah. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
I think for me, because I don't like a lot of gore. I don't like body horror. So body I feel horror. Like I would never really watch like any of the Human Centipedes, or I've like read the plot to a Serbian film. I feel like I would never be into that. And I also read about Martyrs, which also, again, just seems too much for me. Even when I spoil the plot for myself, I think I would be watching it like through my fingers a lot.
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't see Goodnight Mommy. I saw The Conjuring when I was like 22 after college and lived at home, and I slept with my mom that night. I was so, or the following night, I saw it at like my friend's house.
There is something about The Conjuring. Like, it took me, honestly, when I watched it for the first time, I'm not even joking, like 4 hours, because I had to pause it like and be like, take a time out.
It's, I don't think I'd watch Strangers again either. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you should. You should. It's, I don't think it's as bad the second time, but it's still tense. So The Conjuring is just one of the, it's one of those rare horror movies that's rated R because of how scary it is, not because of like gore or like
violence. Oh,
interesting.
So, and The Ring is only PG-13. So
really? Yeah. Oh my God. No, The Conjuring like honestly like ruined my day.
It's such a good movie though. It's such a solid horror movie.
Yeah, I can't turn away once I'm like in it. You know?
Like even the opening.
So I probably won't watch Annabelle then either. A doll. Or an actual haunted doll that existed.
There's a haunted doll. If you ever go to Key West, there's a haunted doll that lives in a store there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You have to ask him.
Have you gone?
I have not, but you have to ask him before you take his photo. Because otherwise, if you don't ask his permission, he'll haunt you.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to fuck with like haunted dolls in any way.
No. I deeply want to go though, but I know I shouldn't.
You would be accidentally haunted, Dana. Like,
really good point.
Are you a skeptic, Dana, or have you seen ghosts?
No. Well, okay. So no, except for around the same time when I saw, or when I watched The Conjuring and then I had to sleep with my mom, I was like, have you ever seen a ghost? And she was like, no. And then like, so sometimes I would like think that I live in a house where my great grandparents built. And I was like, sometimes I like think I see a woman. And she's like, sometimes I think I see great grandma. Like,
oh, creepy.
Or her grandma. So yeah, I thought maybe, but like, no, I've never seen like a real ghost. I do believe people when they tell me that they have, unless they sound ridiculous. I'm just want to be skeptical because if I can like keep anything at bay, I'm already an astrologer, you know, like everything is so intense.
Have either of you ever had a noteworthy experience seeing a horror movie in theaters?
I had to leave The Exorcism of Emily Rose when we were in high school. And then I woke up that morning at 3:30 and I was like, no fucking way. I mean, I also like saw an episode of Oprah where she was like, if you think about a time, you'll wake up at that time. You don't need an alarm clock. So I'm hoping that was that and not like me being exorcised. Haunted.
I remember I saw the first Paranormal Activity in theaters when I was in college. And then I had to go back to my apartment and all my roommates were gone. And we had this, a very like long hallway. And I specifically remember like, I had to wake up to like pee in the middle of the night and I refused to. So I just like could not handle it. But I think that horror movie, because I think they kind of did it like Blair Witch style for a while where they were like, we're going to pretend this like was real found footage. And I think the two actors like weren't allowed to like be out in public for a while. Or did they do that for Blair Witch? I always forget which one, but like maybe it was Blair Witch.
They did it for Blair Witch. I don't know. I don't remember if they did it for Paranormal Activity or not. But the yeah.
I remember you telling me about Paranormal Activity either on like a break or I don't know if you called or texted me and I was like, I'm not seeing that movie.
No, it honestly scared me. Even if it wasn't like that scary, I guess, looking back, but like there's, sorry, my stomach just like made the weirdest noise like picked up.
You're being haunted.
But there's like that scene where like the bed, like her sheet goes up a little bit, like, and she moves her foot. And I just feel like that always goes up against like, you know, you're when you're little, you're always afraid of like your feet coming out of your bed sheet because like you don't want anything to touch you or like grab your foot. And I don't know, that movie like really scared me.
I mean, that fear has carried over into adulthood. I always like tuck my feet into the covers. So
you cannot do it any other way.
I'm so jealous that you saw Paranormal Activity in theaters. Oh. Would love to.
It was honestly really good, and everybody in the theater was like freaking the fuck out, so it was it kind of was fun, but also it was still scary because everybody was like jump scared at the same time.
Yeah. Everyone's like sitting like with their knees to their chest in their seat like looking through like a hood.
No, totally.
That's great.
So have you seen any horror movies in 2023 so far that you would buy as your favorite so of this year?
I mean, okay, so I saw Gone in the Night. I think is the only new one I saw, which was with, I don't know, Winona Ryder on Hulu and Dermot Mulroney, I think. It was Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah.
That one, I wouldn't like recommend it. And I wouldn't even call it my favorite. I enjoyed watching it. It's bad, but it's watchable. I watched Every Secret Thing with Dakota Fanning, which is not new. It's from like 2015. Honestly, the person who wrote that should be in jail, but, or given an award, maybe both. Like, it's just so bad, but so good and so like twisted. And then I watched Regression, also not new, with Ethan Hawke and Emma Hermione Watson.
Oh my God. Did you use that as her middle name?
I just couldn't think of her name. But yeah, those were like, they're like I said, like I like bad, interesting. They're watchable, right? It's not like so bad that you have to turn it off, but it's like, maybe it's just like, that's how time works now, where something from like 5 years ago suddenly feels out of, you know, the era.
Yeah.
I just watched The Menu and I really liked it. I thought it was like shot really well. I liked kind of like the dark humor of it, like where they kind of treated it like Chef's Table and they would talk about what was going on, like every when you put out
course.
Oh yeah, every course, and they talked about it. It also was crazy to me how like chill everyone was when they realized they were all going, or I don't know.
I don't want to know.
But when they realized they're all going to die, I feel like they like accepted it in pretty hilarious ways.
I've heard multiple people say that they're like, they just went out too easily. Like, why wouldn't you try to run again?
Yeah. And I thought that was like the weird part to me. I also thought it was funny though, like, the reasons why he brought those people to the dinner, like the one actor, he just like hated his movie so much, which I loved. But yeah, I thought that was great. And then something that I'm interested in seeing, I was interested in reading. It might actually be from like late 2022, but I feel like everybody has been talking about Terrifier 2 and how insane it is. And it sounded like it was very gory and it could have been fun if it was like an hour shorter, but I feel like that would be fun to watch just because it sounds like insane.
Have you seen the first one?
No, but I Wikipedia'd it. But yeah, it sounded just like a very bizarre. And I feel like anytime you just have like a weird, like clown type person or mime type person, it's already bizarre and weird and scary just from that being your killer.
Yeah.
But yeah, have you seen it?
I have not. I have not seen either of them. And I don't know if I will, because I hear they're pretty brutal. So
yeah. Like reading it, I'm like, okay. Like in my mind, I'm imagining what happens to the people, like done in like a campy way. But yeah. If it was not done in a campy way, then it's very fucked up.
So what horror movies are you most looking forward to seeing in 2023?
Dana, take it away.
I want to see Poor Things from my guy Yorgos Lanthimos.
My guy Yorgos.
Who did Killing of a Sacred Deer, which I would far and away recommend. I was obsessed with how good that was. And I just read about Poor Things, and I think it's coming out in the fall. And then I also want to see, it's like Disappointment Boulevard or What Was Afraid. I just watched the trailer. Mm-hmm. And that looked so, like, I don't know, it looks like horror Willy Wonka. I'm down.
Yeah.
I got to see it. Or like, it also, honestly, the movie Little Nemo, when we were little, there's this weird cartoon called Little Nemo, which probably to me was like a horror film as a child. And something about it reminded me of that. So if anyone's, you know, born in the late 80s, they might remember that too. Also, this isn't 2023, but I really think that Fully Ado will be either good or bad, but it'll be good either way, you know? It's like the Joker too.
Oh, okay.
And Lady Gaga is, it's like his girlfriend, and then they're crazy together. It's like mental illness that breeds off of each other or something. Psychosis.
Yeah, I feel like for me, I just watched this trailer and I know it's out right now, but I want to see Infinity Pool with Alexander Skarsgård, and I love Mia Goth. I think she's so interesting. So I definitely want to see that one. Yeah.
My aunt just was in Sundance and saw it.
Oh yeah. Cool. Did she like it? It looks like kind of fucked up.
She loves Alexander Skarsgård though. So
Man does not age. For
a reason. Yeah, he's so hot.
I saw it last weekend. It was very, very weird, but it was good. Oh. I enjoyed it. So
what's up with their masks? Or is that like a spoiler?
I mean, it's kind of a spoiler.
Oh, so,
yeah.
I mean, I like having things Wikipedia ruined. So if we want to talk about it after, like, let me know.
Okay. So are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like? Or do you have any hot takes on horror movies?
Dana always has hot takes. I feel like, I think I'm like the, I don't think I like anything or dislike anything that would be appalling to others, but maybe I'm wrong. Dana, do you have anything?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I just think like cultural response to a movie is interesting in and of itself. Like The Joker, when I watched it, I was like, this is a really dark movie. I think it's really well done. Would that be horror? It must be horror, right?
I would consider it kind of horror. Yeah, I would consider it kind of horror, but I know people would say that it's mostly comic book.
Yeah, okay. Fair. Yeah, well, to me, it was like, this is scary.
It was really hard to watch. I was really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was so
a lot of it.
Same. Oh my God. Yeah, I saw it in theaters, and there was so many parts where I was like, so anxious, where I was like, this is not even cool anymore.
There are also parts where I like started laughing and people were like, what's wrong with you? Like, are you the Joker? But yeah, no, that I think it's interesting how many people like idol. I mean, that's not even like a hot take. It's sort of like easy to be like, it's weird that you guys love him. But yeah, I love comedy too. So
if you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
The Brood.
What
is the 1979? Brood? It's like a mother-child psychological horror film where like basically this mother has like the brood. I watched it a long time ago and I might have been drunk. But yeah, it's like all these like little, I guess they're called broods. They're like basically like trolls who are sort of like her own, like I guess it would be called like generational trauma. And then I mean they're like just like haunt the family, and then they like the little girl thinks she's escaped and then she has a brood or something.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, you get passed down these like sort of things that haunt you and they're ugly little babies or like
weird. Yeah.
It's very weird in 70s or 80s. I think it's 79.
Say no more. I love weird 70s.
You would like it.
I think for me, and I'm only doing this because I would love to see like what the reaction would be and how they would change it or do whatever. But I feel like Nightmare on Elm Street 2 has gotten shit on universally so hard. And I watched the documentary on it, which was super interesting. But I would like to see how it would be remade like now, and like, especially with like how the kind of like the culture has kind of changed. I would like to see what they would do with that. But that's more of just like a troll, like a troll answer, I guess.
No, I think it would be interesting to see how it would be remade. Dana, you said you really liked witchy horror. Have you watched Hellbender yet?
No.
You should watch it. I don't know if you can get it on VOD, but it's on Shudder. So It came out last year. So it should be on VOD.
Hellbender.
I'm sure they're selling it. It's a mother-daughter like witchy thing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And they have a band, so.
It's like Freaky Friday.
My last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
Megan. We would dance. She would protect me.
Nice. Fun. Megan, I have to keep with my just like Nightmare in Elm Street theme that I've had throughout this whole episode and say Freddy. You know, he would bring the jokes. He would probably get annoying, but at least he would be like lurking around quietly, you know?
Yeah, he'd be there in your sleep. You'd always hang out.
Okay, well, awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone who's listening where they can find you both and allegedly astrology, and as well as if they want a reading from you, Dana?
Yes. You could find allegedly astrology on like every Dana, don't talk over me. I'm saying where we could be found. You could find allegedly astrology on like every major podcast platform. You could find us on Instagram at allegedly astrology. Same for TikTok. We're also on Twitter at allegedly astro. Dana, do you want to say where people could get a reading from you?
Yeah, if you guys want a reading, you could check out our website to see what we offer in general. I could do birth chart prediction tailored to what you guys want. And I'm actually offering a sale on Saturn readings for people who have Pisces and Aquarius Saturn. But yeah, just check out the website or email us at allegedlyastrology.com and we could set that up.
Yes. Awesome. And we have Patreon, which we update every month with at least 2 episodes.
And we do chart chats where you guys can ask questions.
So it's good for like between seasons because we are a seasonal podcast, but we have 5 out. So that's like a ton of episodes to listen to right now.
Yeah. Everyone go check them out and also go look up your birth chart and then let them know if you have questions through their Patreon.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much again for being here.
Yes. Thanks for having us. This was so fun. It just reminds me of like how I need to watch horror movies and not just read the Wikipedia plots.
Yeah. Same.
All right. Well, have a good night.
Bye. Thank you so much.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Dana and Sarah, and thanks again to Dana and Sarah for coming on. I'll leave links to where you can find Allegedly Astrology online. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod or on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and get boosted.